Hi. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for coming all the way out to West Vancouver, when I know most of you live across the bridge in far away Vancouver. It's much appreciated, and thank you very much for showing me all your support and your encouragements through all the stages of my singing life. Just sort of to establish why it is I'm doing this, this recital, it marks a transition point for me. It marks sort of, I guess, as we Jews like to say, it marks the transition from childhood to adulthood. I think we've heard that before. Although really, it marks the transition, you know, from singing with the same teacher since I was 7 years old and to moving on to a more professional mode of study. And, I mean, that is really the main reason why I'm doing this. Although, another reason why, actually, when I was working this summer, I was speaking to somebody and they said, I thought you were going into music. I said, I am. And they said, well, that's a shame. And I was like, oh. Well then. And you know, I wasn't really quite sure what to say, but you know, between trying to find my bearings and trying to, you know, retort with something witty and intelligent, which I fail to do at the best of times, I really thought, you've never heard me sing before, you don't know what I can do. And so, another thing, I guess I'm going to show everyone and I'm going to blow any previous misconception you have of me out of the water. Although on that note, I'm really, really hoping that you didn't have really high expectations, because that would be really uncomfortable. So that first piece, just to warm you up, that was called My Lag in Love. It was originally a Celtic piece that was translated into English. And it's really about this man watching his lovely lady from afar, and he is lovesick. He feels like if he cannot have her, he'll languish and die. Seriously. So that was just to warm things up. We are going to move into the Italian set list. What you can expect throughout this recital, there are three set lists. There's the Italian, the German, and the French. And there will be a 10-minute intermission in the middle, which I will give you some notification. So to start things off, we will start with the first piece in the Italian set, which is Amarilli mia bella, which means Amaryllis, my love. And if any of you are familiar with Greek mythology, or mythology at all for that matter, the main character, or the woman who's singing this song, she has recently discovered that she's actually a bargaining chip. She loved this man, and he sort of traded her off to Hades, and he's got her, and he's sort of running off to do his own adventuring, and so she is heartbroken. And... yes. Yes. explain. The reason why I faltered in the first introduction was because I realized I was giving you the synopsis for the upcoming song, and I thought, how can I turn this around? And realized I couldn't, it was too far gone. So I'll tell you what I did just sing about, though. It is Amarilli Mia Bella, so Amaryllis, my love. It is just a man saying to this woman named Amarilli or Amaryllis. And it's a very chaste and very sweet song, which is quite rare in Italian song, to be quite frank. And he was really just saying, you know, if I could really just hold you, you'd make my heart soar. And it was really just about love, the long or short of it. The next piece is called Lasciatemi Morire, which in Italian means leave me to die. You should understand there are two schools of thought when it comes to Italian art song. The first is the Italian school of melodrama, and the other is the more minimalist approach. So this piece, as you can imagine, is quite melodramatic. And this is the piece, actually, if you're familiar with Greek mythology, it's Ariadna, or Ariadne, the Greek myth. And what I said before applies now.
Lascia di me morire, lascia di me morire.
Challenging, it grows much sweeter. It's related to the maturity of your own voice. And so it's really a piece you can revisit when you're 18, 24, 65. It never gets old. And it's really one of those universal pieces that anyone who has a love for art song, they will flow and love this piece.
Thank you.
songs. The thing with German is that most people who don't speak the language or haven't studied the language, they automatically associate German with this very harsh, very guttural sound, and it sounds like you're spitting or swearing, regardless of what you're saying. You could be professing your love, and it would still sound uncomfortable, and you want to get away from there as fast as possible. The thing, though, is German, the challenge with German is because it is a very demanding language in terms of the consonants and the vowels, and you're not allowed to drop these consonants when you sing, the difficult thing is maintaining a very smooth phrase and making it very gentle, the way it's supposed to be, while getting your thes and tes and so's out. So this first piece is called Der Tod und das Mädchen, which means Death and the Maiden. It is a character piece. There are two characters, there's Death and the Maiden. And Death is chasing after this young woman, and she turns to him and says, stay away from me, I'm too young to go with you, don't touch me, leave me be. To which he tenderly replies, I'm a friend, give me your hand, do not fear me. Everyone has to come with me at some point, so rather than fret in this wild night, just sleep softly in my arms. Satisfy all my needs and everything I could ever long or hope for you provide, and I want for nothing and I need for nothing, and in my heart I'm at peace, and it is your smile and your eyes that light up.
Thank you.
first half of the show. We will take a 10-minute stretching break, and we will see you shortly. So to begin the second half, we have an English piece called Sure on This Shining Night by Samuel Barber. He is considered to be the father figure of all modern classical music. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. I love this stuff, all of it. The thing with this piece, though, is I was actually doing some research because I was trying to figure out what to tell you about this piece, and there are over 157 different interpretations of this piece, none of which have been agreed upon by more than six people at best. So, I was at a music camp in the summer at UBC, and I know I pitched this song to a bunch of musicians. I said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And the responses are so varied. Someone said it was about the second coming, and someone else said it's about, like meeting a long-lost loved one, or someone said it's about going to the beach. I mean, I don't know. After thinking about it, I got something. But the thing is, I can't actually share it with you, and I'll tell you why. Because there was an interview with the composer Samuel Barber, and he said he never gave his own opinion about this piece because no one ever agreed with him on it. He said people had their own interpretations they stuck to so much that he figured this piece must be something that everyone can reach for and connect to on their own, and he saw no reason to push his own intention onto them. So I will let you do the interpretation for this piece, and I'll let my section there.
Sure on this shining night of starry shadows round.
This piece, it's tricky because really it's talking about boats. is really just talking about boats and the harbor. And if you listen to the music and you compare it to the text, it really doesn't add up. And the thing with French is that it's not as direct, say, as Italian or German, and a lot of the meaning you have to dig for it yourself. So with Le Berceau, if you listen to the music, it mimics the sound of waves lapping up at the side of the boat. But it also mimics the sound, like a very soothing lullaby. It's very lulling altogether. And so a common interpretation of this piece is that there's a woman who is, she's looking out onto the boats, and she's waiting for someone to return, and she's saying to her child, you know, your father will be home, or whoever will be home. And so this piece, it gets very dramatic, and it gets very strong. And for the text alone, it doesn't really lend itself well to that. So, just so. Pieces in Fauré's repertoire, and if you look at the lyrics, again, it really doesn't make much sense. He's talking about the seasons changing, then he's talking about regret, and then he's talking about the seasons changing. And it really, it gives you the impression that this is the biggest travesty, whatever he is talking about is the biggest travesty that anyone could ever come by. So I guess he isn't a fan of fall. But upon closer inspection, if you think about it, if you think of seasons in terms of the cycle of life, you have the springtime of youth, you have the winter of seniority, and then fall is sort of right in the middle. It could easily represent a midlife crisis. You don't have to laugh. No, but really, and he's saying, at one point he says, and I watch my regrets fly away, and they spew forth like waters from a torrent, and he really mixes these words with these images, and he's talking about all these things he's never done and he wishes he did. And I guess to him, that really is the travesty. That would make more sense.
Un arbre par dessus
special treat more for me, actually. I get to sing a duet with my awesome teacher, Kimberly. As promised, I will spare the sentiment. This piece is called O del mio dolce ardor, which means, oh, my sweet ardor. Again, it's that really dramatic Italian song. And it's really, it is a love song, and it's really the main character singing to his love about, you know, the air you breathe, I breathe, and the space you occupy, so do I, and I would long for nothing more than to just hold it last a little while. Last a little while. So this is, it originally is a solo piece, but we did find a rendition for a duet.
Thank you.
you insist, okay. I've got an encore piece. this encore piece is one that I believe needs no introduction. I guarantee you every single person has heard the song at least once before, and you'll recognize it within the first four bars, or for your non-music folk, within the first 5 to 10 seconds. And all of you are here, and I owe a huge thank you to you without you, I mean, I wouldn't have a support group, and you've really all been very encouraging to me as I've grown and as I've progressed in my music. I don't want to say career, that sounds too good. I mean, some of you I've known for a long time, and others for a very short while, but first and foremost, I'd like to thank the board of directors, the rabbi, the cantor, for allowing me to use this space, which is a beautiful space, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And, of course, I have to thank the amazing pianist Kelly Wong. He's a great guy, and he took time out of his very busy schedule from teaching to his upcoming wedding to... I'd like to thank my parents for, definitely without them, I would definitely not be doing this career path. And I definitely would never have taken singing lessons, and I definitely never would have studied with some amazing people. So, to you, a huge thank you. Again, I say I'm very blessed, and I say this because I've been fortunate enough to have the same teacher for voice since I was 7 years old. And that's really been a challenge. And some of you might be thinking, oh, you're just being modest. I say, no, really, because I can't think of too many voice teachers who would take on a student who can't read music. Her theory is less than subpar. And her musicianship skills don't go much further than repeat after me. So, I mean, you have to be someone with a lot of patience and a lot of dedication and a lot of encouragement. So these are for my teacher, Kimberly. Express the full extent of my gratitude to you, but nonetheless, I hope you as well. And to you all, thank you very much for coming out and enjoy the rest of this beautiful afternoon. And hopefully, the coming week brings you much happiness. Thank you.